there. Welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak. I'm going to be your host for the next 30 minutes, and I want to thank you for stopping by. Okay, this week, we're going to look at the Mass readings for the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time. The theme is this: blessed are they who hope in the Lord. Do you place your hope in the Lord, or are you placing your hope in someone or something else? We're going to talk about that on the show today. And again, I really want to thank you for stopping by, for spending this time with me. I'm very grateful. I realize that you have many choices of what you can do with the next 30 minutes. And the fact that you chose to spend it with me talking about these Mass readings really makes me feel good. So welcome. Settle in. Make yourself at home. Whatever you need to do. Take your shoes off if you want. Grab a snack. Whatever you need to do to be comfortable. And we're going to get ready to get started in just about a couple of seconds here. But why don't we just do it? Let's get started. And then I have more things to say, but I want to do the prayer first. And that way we'll make sure that the Lord leads my words the way he wants to lead them. So if you would just join me, let's place ourselves in the presence of Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, who loves us with an unconditional love and is standing by waiting to hear from us. So if you'll join me, let's begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for your willingness to hear our prayers. Father, we praise you for your incredible power, your infinite wisdom, your inability to be limited in any way. You can do all things, Father. That is definitely praiseworthy. We thank you, Father, for bringing us safely to this moment in time. You've taken care of all of our needs from the time we were first conceived right up until the present time, and for that we are grateful. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus into our world. We thank you for allowing us to one day occupy a place in your heavenly kingdom. We realize that there is a place reserved for us, and we thank you for that. Father, we lift up to you all of our needs this day. We lift up the needs of our friends and family. We pray for all those people who have asked us to pray for them. We pray for peace around the world. We pray for those who are homeless, those who are homebound, those who are confined to hospitals or nursing homes or prisons or rehab facilities. We pray for all those who are discouraged or hopeless or even suicidal today. We pray for our church. We pray for healing for the sick. We pray for strength for those who take care of the sick. We pray for the souls in purgatory. And Father, I ask you to give me this day the words that you would like me to deliver on this program. Direct my thoughts and my words so that I can deliver the message that you have for us today. Finally, I ask you to open up all of our minds, all of our hearts, so that we would be willing to hear what you would say, what you will say to us, and to put it into practice in our lives. Father, we ask these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me. In case you're just tuning in, my name is Gary Zimak. We do this each week for 30 minutes as we look at the weekly Sunday Mass readings. Today, we're going to look at the Mass readings for the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time. And I want to just put things in perspective. I was looking at the calendar before we went on the air. Sometimes I lose track of where we are in the liturgical year. I mean, obviously, I have a general idea, but in terms of how close we are to Lent right now, today is the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time. Next Sunday is the seventh Sunday, then the eighth Sunday, right? Sunday after that, the first Sunday of Lent. So, yeah, I know, believe it or not, we're only a few weeks away from the start of Lent. And I think it's good to keep that in mind. I think it's good to prepare, to make that preparation, that Lenten preparation for Easter, which is really what we're doing. And with that in mind, I just want to make you aware of the fact that I wrote a book a few years ago back called Give Up Worry for Lent. That book has been my best-selling book out of any of the books I've written. And I have a pretty active and filled speaking schedule for this year for Lent, speaking about Give Up Worry for Lent. And by the way, if you head on over to followingthetruth.com, it's my website, you can find out where I'll be. If I happen to be in your area, I would love to have you stop by and say hello. But I tell you that because now would be a good time, if you're interested, to pick up a copy of Give Up Worry for Lent. Since it's been out, it has sold out several years because there tends to be a big rush on it. I have not started the big national radio blitz yet. I have some appearances lined up. This happens every year. And thanks be to God, I get a lot of attention with this book. And the book sales tend to really go up. So I want to make sure you don't get shut out. If you want to get a copy of this daily devotional, Give Up Worry for Lent, you can do that by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. And you can find out how to get that or any of my books right there. In addition, I'm going to encourage you to sign up for my daily reflection, my email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. Once Lent rolls around, once we hit Ash Wednesday, we are going to shift into a Give Up Worry for Lent theme with these daily reflections. So what I'm going to be doing is enhancing and elaborating a little bit more on the material in the book. So if you'd like to sign up for my daily email reflection, there is no cost. You can unsubscribe at any time. You will get one email a day from me. It's a very short reflection, a short message. And I've gotten a lot of good comments about it over the years. So you can do that at followingthetruth.com. And also, if you would like to invite me to speak at your parish or your conference, you can connect with me through the website. Again, last time, I know I said it a few times the last time, followingthetruth.com. I always got to get the business out of the way before we start the program. So look, hope, it's very important. This is the Jubilee Year of Hope as announced by our Holy Father, Pope Francis. And this is a big deal. Hope is what keeps us going. We all have hope. We all either hope or we become discouraged and lose hope. But we can have hope in different things. We can hope that our luck turns around. We can hope to come into money. We can hope for good weather. We can hope for good health. But ultimately, as a Christian, my hope should be in the Lord. That's what these readings are going to be about today. We'll talk a little bit more about hope as I go through the readings. But essentially what Christian hope is the belief, not a feeling, the belief that with the help of God's grace, I can make it to heaven. Despite my imperfections, my weaknesses, my limitations, my sinfulness, despite all of that, with the help of God's grace, I can reach my heavenly destination, my heavenly homeland, my reward with the help of His grace. That's what Christian hope is. It's not crossing your fingers and hoping for the best, but it's a belief. It is a strong belief, a confident expectation that this is going to happen. And you know, there's a lot more to hope when you let it trickle down into our day-to-day life. Essentially, hope implies that with God's help, things are going to get better. So if I'm struggling right now, with the help of the Lord, it can turn around and get better. Not always externally. Sometimes it's an internal turning around and I just get peace, a greater peace inside of me. But once I involve the Lord and turn to Him, whatever I'm facing, no matter how bleak it looks, no matter how dark it is, it will get better. Might not get better instantly, or again, it might not get better in the way I expect or want, but it will get better in some way. And essentially, you know, we got to remember too that anything that the Lord allows to happen in our life, and make no mistake, if something happens in your life, He's either willing it or He's permitting it to happen because He's all powerful. Why would God permit evil to enter into your life? Well, we don't have to understand all the ins and outs, but the one thing to know is that unless He could somehow use it for your good, He wouldn't let it happen. Now, that doesn't mean it has to work to benefit you, because we need to cooperate. You know, God can bring good out of any evil that we experience. But we have a role to play in that, and we have to cooperate with him. If we do that, ultimately, it will work out for what's for our best. And remember, God's main concern is not that we have a comfortable life in this world. He wants us to live with him forever in heaven. And one of the ways that often happens is through suffering. So, you know, I know it's not a popular topic, but especially as we head toward the Lenten season and we reflect on the passion, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, it's important for us to remember that the way to heaven is via the cross. You know, we are called, you and I, we are called to imitate Jesus. We are called to carry on his work. And since he was required to carry a cross and he showed us that, the same is going to be expected of us. If we follow Jesus, he's going to take us by way of Calvary. Now, ultimately, in 3 days, like him, we'll rise from the dead. So there's a joy that follows the sorrows of life. And there's going to be those sorrows and suffering for all of us. But ultimately, blessed is he or she who places their hope in the Lord. That's the message of these readings today. So with that in mind, let's look at the Mass readings for the sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'll begin with the Gospel, as I always do. We'll go along with the Church, the teaching of the Church, and let the Gospel lead the way. The Gospels are singled out by the Church as being the most prominent books of the Bible. Every book in the Bible contains the inspired Word of God, but the Gospels are special because they teach us about the life of Jesus. So I always start with the Gospel, and then we back up and look at the other readings. I know I tell you this a lot. If you're a regular listener, you say, oh my gosh, he's saying it again. I can't believe it. But I never know if I'm getting a first-time listener who might not know why I'm beginning with the Gospel. And I really do think it helps to try to nail down the theme, the specific theme that the Church wants us to get, because this first and second, or the first reading of the Responsorial Psalm, they're chosen specifically to match up with the Gospel. And that's often where you can get the theme of all of these readings. So let's look at it now. Gospel is Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 17. Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a stretch of level ground with a great crowd of his disciples and a large number of the people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon. And raising his eyes toward his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. Blessed are you who are now hungry, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who are now weeping, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you and denounce your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. For their ancestors treated the prophets in the same way. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will grieve and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for their ancestors treated the false prophets in this way." So what we have here, if this sounds familiar, it sounds like the Beatitudes, right? Now, this is Luke's version of the Beatitudes. Most of us are familiar with Matthew's version, which occurs early on in the Gospel of Matthew during the Lord's Sermon on the Mount. But the message, we see a similar message here. Blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are now hungry. Blessed are you who are weeping. Blessed are you when people hate you. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Now, the world does not consider blessed those who are poor and who are weeping and who are hungry. The world considers those people to be cursed. Now, here's the interesting thing. Luke, when he gives us these different beatitudes, he also gives us the flip side. Blessed are you when you're having a rough time in this life. But he also states, but woe to you who are rich, You've already received your consolation. Woe to you who are filled now. You'll be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now. Woe to you when all speak well of you. Now, he's obviously, we got to make a distinction here. Matthew or Luke is not saying, when he quotes Jesus here, that if you're rich, you're necessarily cursed. I know a lot of rich people. I've met a lot of rich people over the years who are incredibly generous with their money. It really isn't a matter of being wealthy. It's a matter of being careful that you don't worship your wealth or your good fortune or food or any number of earthly things. Because, I mean, the ultimate message here that Luke's trying to teach us by giving us this gospel passage is that, remember, this life is passing away. Don't seek only the goods and the pleasure of this life. Remember that we were created to live eternally with the Lord in heaven. And that's going to last a lot longer than our few short years on earth. And that's the message. This is a message filled with hope. Yeah, we're all, and I'm sure you can relate to this, we are all forced to deal with things in this life that aren't pleasant. Right now as I record this, it's a gloomy, cold day outside. There are some other issues in my life that I'm working through right now that aren't especially pleasant. And I'm sure you can relate. But hope tells us that this life, with all of its suffering and difficulties and temptations, it's not going to last forever. So, you know, a lot of times people get upset with the thought of leaving this world. And death can be very, very frightening. Unless we can somehow look forward to what lies beyond our death on earth. And that's the promise of heaven. And that's the hope. Now, that takes faith, and it also takes hope. These are two virtues, two theological virtues that we receive when we're baptized. So when we're baptized, we're given this ability to believe what the Lord has revealed to us and to believe that we can make it to heaven with his help. So if you're having a bad day, it is possible to look forward to that day when you won't be dealing with all the things that are weighing you down here. Health issues, financial issues, loneliness, temptations, any number of things that are causing you to suffer in this life. They're going to be gone one day. And the Lord gives us hope that if we stick with him and follow him and cooperate with the grace that he gives us, we're going to live with him forever in heaven. And that hope can be present to us in the midst of all the difficulties and lift our spirits, make us realize, okay, this is bad, but I'll get my reward one day. And that's what the purpose of these Beatitudes are. With the caution, the woes as opposed to the blesseds. The woes, like, be careful if you're getting too comfortable. That's essentially the message. Don't get too comfortable. The enemy of the spiritual life is being comfortable. Comfort is very detrimental to our spiritual lives. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy things every now and then, but you don't want to pursue nothing but comfort. And I think that's a great message to think about a few weeks outside of Lent. Because Lent gives us a chance to embrace our crosses and to maybe take on a few voluntary crosses as well. And unite any suffering that we experience with the suffering of Christ and let him use it for good, right? That's one of the points of Lent. Let's look at the first reading now, Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the one who trusts in human beings. See that theme? Who seeks strength in flesh, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a barren bush in the desert that enjoys no change of season, but stands in a lava waste, a salt and empty earth. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted beside the waters that stretches out its roots to the stream. It fears not the heat when it comes. Its leaves stay green. In the year of drought, it shows no distress, but still bears fruit. Hope in the Lord. That's the message. And we're going to hear that in the responsorial psalm, Psalm 1. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord. Blessed the man who follows not the counsel of the wicked, nor walks in the way of sinners, nor sits in the company of the insolent, but delights in the law of the Lord and meditates on his law day and night. He is like a tree planted near running water that yields its fruit in due season, and whose leaves never fade. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked, not so. They are like the chaff which the wind drives away. For the Lord watches over the way of the just, but the way of the wicked vanishes. Blessed are they who hope in the Lord. Now, the fact that you're listening to this program probably indicates you are putting some degree of hope in the Lord. Because those who are just putting all of their hope in their own power and the things of the world and possessions and riches and good health and all that stuff, which can be taken away instantly, they're not going to be listening to shows like this. So you should feel good, at least you're on the right track. But I think it's a matter of degree for all of us, myself included, absolutely. Where do I place my hope? How much am I depending on the Lord, and how much am I depending on myself? That doesn't mean that he doesn't want me to use my abilities and talents and resources. He does. But he wants me to realize that without his help, I could do nothing. That's the key. I could fumble along and try to make it by in life, but I'm not going to be anywhere near as effective or find the peace that I could find with when I turn things over to him, when I walk with him, when I depend on his guidance. That's what the Lord wants. He wants to guide us. You know, in the past, I've struggled with trying to overcome certain sinful habits. You know, you might have them too. Your favorite sins, the ones you just commit over and over again. And I tried to get by it, to change through willpower alone, and I would repeatedly fail until it was brought to my attention that I'm not supposed to do it on my own. It takes more than willpower to live a holy life. It takes willpower plus the grace of God. The Lord wants us to lean on him. That's why the sacrament of confession is so great, especially when trying to overcome these sins that we repeat over and over again. It's because we receive the grace to avoid sin in the future. Now, grace is a funny thing. It's invisible, somewhat intangible. You can't really put you can't feel it with your hands. You can't see it with your eyes. Sometimes you just can't see the effects or feel the effects of grace. But that's why we believe by faith in the power of grace. Faith is tough for some of us because we like to be able to use our senses to verify something being true or effective. It's not easy to do that with faith. Over time, you can see the effects of grace in your life. I said faith, I meant grace. The effects of grace in your life. You might look at your life 10 years ago, 5 years ago, maybe even a couple years ago, and you can see, I'm not doing some of the things I used to do before. That's good. So that you can, in a sense, see the effect of grace. But it is pretty intangible. Let's look at the second reading, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 12. St. Paul writes, "Brothers and sisters, if Christ is preached as raised from the dead, how can some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If the dead are not raised, neither has Christ been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is vain. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are the most pitiable people of all. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. I love the way the second reading fits into the other readings today. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we're the most pitiable people of all. One of the most difficult concepts for us Christians, as well as anybody to get through their head, but even for Christians, is that this life isn't all there is. This life on earth is only a small fraction of our eternal life. And to live for that eternal life, to look forward to life in heaven, requires a whole lot of faith that what the Lord said is true and a whole lot of hope. So don't try to do it on your own. Pray for an increase in faith. Pray for an increase in hope. Pray for an increase in charity or love as well, so that you'll be able to think, to speak, and to act as Jesus did. That's what we're called to do. We're going to be judged on that. And we're not expected to do it on our own. God doesn't expect us to do it on our own. He gives us grace. He sends us the Holy Spirit to help us. So if you are having a tough time of things, if life is getting you down a little bit, I'm going to pray for you. I continue to pray for you. I've been praying for you. I'll continue to do so, but especially today with this topic. I'll pray that your hope will be increased and you'll be able to look forward to that day when you won't be suffering as you're suffering right now. That day may come in this life. Something you're struggling with right now, it might be gone tomorrow or the next day, or a year from now. But for sure, you know that all of your suffering, your earthly suffering, it will be gone when you leave this earth and, God willing, enter into your heavenly reward. Amen? All right. Thank you so much for listening to me today. I'm very grateful. If you have anything you need answered, you want to get in touch with me, Gary@followingthetruth.com. is my email address. You can also head over to followingthetruth.com to find out more information about my work. I'm going to keep praying for you. Please pray for me and my family as well. God willing, we'll do this again next week. Have a great week. God bless you.